Our guest in the cafe this morning is Hunt County Master Gardener, Dr. Stephanie Susan Smith. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Stephanie, I'm guessing that the rain that we've had recently certainly welcome for gardeners.
Yes, it's very welcome, although the cool weather has kind of confused the hot weather crops a little bit.
Well, we're going to be talking about some midsummer and late summer things here, and midsummer now is a good time to be planting certain vegetables.
Yes, if you're going to have a fall garden, this is a very good time to be planting your warm weather vegetables. You should have planted your tomatoes and your peppers in July, but things like corn and beans and the melons, various, you know, warm weather things, squash, cucumbers, those things go in August, and then the cool weather things like spinach and lettuce and carrots and turnips and beets, those things go in September, and then they grow during the hot part, and then they produce when it's cooler.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were the ones you said right now would be good to be putting out?
Corn, beans, cucumbers, muskmelons, watermelons, okra, pumpkins, tomatoes.
Pretty good list there. That, and you can be putting those out right now.
You can be putting those out right now.
All right, very good. You tell me that as we approach September, and we're still a few weeks away from that, but time to be thinking about it, that it's time to be thinking about planting perennials.
Yes, you plant perennials in September. You also dig up your bulbs and divide them. You dig up your other perennials that you need to divide, pull them apart, and then replant them where you want them, and plant new perennials in your landscape so that you get ready for the fall and spring. And that allows them to grow a little bit before they go dormant for the winter, and then they have a head start in the spring.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the perennials are the ones that come back year after year.
Yes.
You hope. Yeah, yeah. What are the most popular perennials in Northeast Texas?
Well, most of the most popular ones are the bulbs, things like daylilies and daffodils and tulips. Things like that are very popular in this part of Texas.
Mm-hmm. Are those native to this part of Texas, or does it really matter?
They're not native, but in a lot of places, some of the daffodils have been naturalized. You'll find where old farmsteads have been, there's daffodil beds mm-hmm. out that continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the native perennial plants for North and Northeast Texas? Are there some you'd recommend?
Well, a lot of the wildflowers are perennials, mm-hmm. and so you know, Turk's cap, bee balm, blue bonnets, Indian paintbrush, Mexican hat, things like that.
Mexican hat, I've seen that. We have the Turk's cap and been real pleased with that. It's a beautiful, bushy kind of flowering plant. We're talking with Hunt County Master Gardener, Dr. Stephanie Susan Smith. Wanted to kick this around with you a little bit. My wife and I, Tricia and I, went to Ireland recently, and we were just overwhelmed by the flowering gardens we saw almost in every yard, at every home. People clearly, you know, have put a tremendous amount of effort into this, and people here work hard on their flower beds and, you know, gardens and so forth as well. But it obviously is just so much more a part of the culture there in Ireland, and maybe the climate as well, it being cooler and wetter. I don't know.
Well, I think it's part of the culture because they don't have the distribution network here. So if they want something, they have to grow it, mm-hmm. whether it be flowers or vegetables.
Yeah.
And so they have kind of a culture of growing their own flower bed, and then they have a vegetable bed. When I went to Hungary, I saw the same thing, that everybody had a flower bed and everybody had a vegetable bed.
It is just striking to see it, the hydrangeas in particular. And those are hard to grow, aren't they?
Well, you do in this part of the country because our soil's alkaline and they like acidic soil, so you have to really baby them. But in Ireland, they have a lot of acidic soil because they have the peat bogs.
That's right.
So they don't have to baby them quite as much.
Well, they're just it's unbelievable how profuse they are. It's just beautiful to see it. Well, we talked about grasshoppers here a while back when you were here, and by golly, I'm starting to see them now. So I guess we're in for it again, huh?
Yeah. I have them in my pasture, and mm-hmm. they're just brazen. All over the place.
Brazen, yeah.
Not afraid at all.
Yeah, and you say it's pretty much past the point where you maybe put out some bait now, but probably not going to do a whole lot of good.
Well, most of them are adults now, yeah. And the bait will make the adults not feel good, but it doesn't kill them outright. So they eat less, and they don't lay as many eggs, yeah. But they don't die.
Well, I guess we take some solace in making them feel not so well.
Yeah.
Maybe stay in bed for longer before they come out, start eating everything up. Thanks for having a cup of coffee with us this morning.
I enjoyed it.
All right. Dr. Stephanie Susan Smith, Hunt County Master Gardener. And you're starting today with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.